All right, so we're going to start out with a little password today. Got to find your partner. I'm only going to do it once. It's going to be the same word. So both of you at the same time say the first thing that comes to your mind, all right? So you can work in trios if you must, but, you know, right there with someone you're near. It's only going to take, you know, give you 3 seconds. First thing that comes to your mind when I say the word, are you ready? Surrender. Surrender. Time's up. I told you, it's only going to give you a couple seconds. First thing that came to your mind. Anyone say defeat? No defeat. Weakness. Loser. Quitter. The French. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. You know. But seriously, in all honesty, generally speaking, surrender isn't something we think of in positive terms, is it? Generally speaking, if you surrender, it means you've given up or given in. You've raised the white flag, thrown in the towel, maybe thrown up your hands. Probably comes after you feel like you've been bowled over or undercut or run around. But most of us know what it is at some point to surrender, to go through that. Most of us in this building experience something that a lot of other people throughout the planet do not, and that is the craziness of a California roadway. You've all been there at some point, right? The lane next to you is coming to an end. The on-ramp doesn't go on forever. At some point, you're supposed to obey and be polite and move on in, and then you notice in that rearview mirror someone who's just decided to make the shoulder a lane. And they've passed 4 or 5 cars, and before you can kind of scooch on over and block them out, they're already up at the front of your car. And at that moment, you need to decide, is a ding or a dent worth teaching the lesson of the manners of merging? And then you start thinking, is the deductible worth this? Because that derelict probably doesn't even have insurance. And you surrender. Just the other night, we were out with some friends from Bethany for dinner. The parking lot took care of restaurants and shopping center. They're all one-way directional. And I'm going down one lane this direction, and a guy 2 over is going the same direction. And we turn both at the same time to come back up that same area. My family says he beat me there by a bumper and the blink of an eye. I didn't think so. So I was going to keep going. And I could tell what was running through his mind. Is a ding or a dent worth teaching this guy the manners of merging? And then he kind of looked, and his car was a whole lot nicer than mine, and he said, hey, is the deductible worth it? Because that derelict might not have insurance. So sometimes we force people to surrender, and sometimes we surrender. You know what it's like. If you have raised children, you have experienced this. You have set your standard. You have made your stand. And you have said, it is time. And then those words come. But mommy, 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 please, 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 please. Daddy, 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 please, 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 just one more. And you can fill in the blank what the one more is. One more goodie, one more game, one more story, one more song, one more tick of the clock, one more turn, and then I will, and you can fill in the blank, take my nap, go to bed, take a bath, do the homework, be ready to go, come inside. And the mommy, 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 daddy, 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 please, 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 at times causes us to raise the white flag and throw in the towel. We have all surrendered. And usually, in practical daily experience, we don't think of surrender as being a very noble quality. It means you kind of gave in. you gave up. A little weakness, a little bit of defeat. But the scriptures tell us a different story. They paint a different picture. A picture of people who surrendered for the noblest of reasons. Take Zechariah. You heard his story over the last several weeks. Zechariah surrendered the right to name his son after himself. What a great name Zechariah is. It means God remembers. But Zechariah was not forgetting the Lord's promise when he agreed to name his son John. Now, that choice shocked his neighbors. It would have horrified his ancestors. In his culture, a name meant everything. It was part and parcel of your very identity. They would have accepted Junior, Zester, little Z, but not John. And all of a sudden, he breaks into song. His voice is back when he says, yes, that is his name. And he proclaims the greatness of God, his past, his present promises, his eternal glory, and how his child would be one who brings that forth as he introduces the advent of his own Lord. Of course, there's another man that comes to mind, the one who had made up in his own to divorce Mary quietly. Think of all that Joseph surrendered when he burned those divorce papers briskly. He was surrendering. See, he had already told his friends what he was going to do. They were planning on him going forward with that. In fact, in his day and his age, in that situation, it said something about himself as much as it did about Mary, that he had chosen poorly. And by surrendering his right to publicly shame her, instead to divorce her quietly, he was already surrendering some stature. But when he ran to her father and told him that he was going to keep the wedding date, oh, he was surrendering a lot of position in his community. But surrender, he would. The nobility of surrender that is seen, but maybe seen in none better than the woman in today's gospel reading. You heard Carl tell just a portion of her story earlier. Mary surrenders. Mary surrenders her wishes. You see, there would be no big church wedding. There wouldn't be the talk of the town about how wonderful she looked in her dress, how marvelous the ceremony was, how outstanding the caterer at the reception. Oh, there would be chatter and there would be talk, but about something else. The reason they eloped, did it quickly and quietly, and went away. She surrendered her will. You heard her in the very words, may it be to me as you have said, thy will be done. She surrendered her womb, the most personal, intimate, private part of her very being, she offered to her Lord. Mary teaches us the nobility of surrender. And there are so many more characters throughout the season of Advent that proclaim that surrender is the character of this season, but none more so than the one who never should have been asked to surrender in the first place. 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have been the least for me, and how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me, bringing out gifts for the newborn? How many kings have gave up their thrones? How many lords abandoned their homes? How many great became the least for me? How many gods have poured out their heart to romance a world that's torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their son for me? For you? Our God surrenders, but in surrendering, he does not sacrifice his stance, nor does he make insignificant his standard. Both are and remain holy. In his surrender, he does not give up nor give in, but he comes down. He isn't bowled over, undercut, or run around, but he simply reveals how over the top in love he is with us, how deep and wide and high and long that love is. He lifts us from shame to the place of his splendor, and the heart's only response is to surrender when moved by the Spirit to him, who did himself surrender. Jesus threw in the towel, as it were, breathed his last, and gave up his spirit. Surrendered for you. It was surrender. No one forced it on him. No one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. He had the authority to lay it down and take it up again. He raised the white flag, as it were, allowed Pilate's guys to claim a W. Even though, had he wanted, angels could have been there at the side and prevented his arrest, let alone his execution. But he surrendered. Jesus Christ himself surrendered. He said, come out with your hands up, if you will, to his own. Put down your swords. Ought I not drink the cup the Father has given to me? His surrender is the veracity of his strength. His surrender is the validation of his victory. And his advent, the first one, his coming, his arrival, his incarnation is all about surrender. Think of the words from St. Paul in Philippians. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Those words are introduced with these ones. Let your attitude be the same as his. I think what St. Paul is saying there is, let surrender be a part of your life, even as it was a part of his life. Let the nobility of surrender be a character that is existent in you as a child of Christ, even as it was in your Lord himself. Servanthood surrender is not weakness, for it can only flow from one who has Christ as their strength. Servanthood surrender is not defeat, for it is part and parcel of having become one who is more than a conqueror in Christ. Servanthood surrendered probably does mean not always demanding your way, relenting and letting others go. But servanthood surrender is seen the best in these texts, these simple three things. This is what I want you to remember today. What does it mean to surrender in noble character, like Mary and Joseph and Zechariah, like your Lord himself? First thing it means is we yield to the word. We yield to the word. Think about each one of these stories throughout the Advent season is met with this notion that that is impossible, or it is certainly illogical. When the text speaks and it seems impossible, when God says and it sounds illogical, we yield to the word. God's word is truth. And the nobility of surrender is found by yielding to the word. The nobility of surrender is found in following God's way. Whether you have an invitation from the old liar, the influence of a corrupt culture, the inclination of your own fallen nature that always invite us to go astray, the nobility of surrender is found in following God's way. And finally, the nobility of surrender is found in seeking God's will. Now, this is where, if you will, at least the individuals we've read about here recently, maybe have a little advantage over you, you think, because they all had an angel come to them. You know, angel means messenger. And we have messengers from God. And even after these individuals had a messenger from God, an angelic type come, they found fellow believers to confirm with. You have fellow believers to confirm with. Look around you. You worship with them. You sit in the pew with them. You study the word with them. You pray with them and for them. You relate to them. You live with them. One way we seek God's will is in the community and the company of God's people who have promised not to bowl us over, undercut us, or run around us, not to seek to get us to give up or to give in, but simply to follow him by yielding to his word and seeking his will. That's the nobility of surrender. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, King of kings, who gave up a throne, abandoned your home, and though greatest, became least for us. We pray that you would grant us your spirit, grant us your grace to surrender to you, your word, your way, your will, to the glory of your holy name, in which we pray. Amen.